When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with 5 Y's. Movies, Baby!
The best show is live here on a Tuesday night. Deep into August of 2017, it's the best show here each and every Tuesday for your listening pleasure. My name is Tom. I'm the host of tonight's episode of the best show, and we have a fun show for you tonight. What are we doing? I don't know. Just call and listen and be a part of it. The number, 201-332-3484. We are all here, and it's going to be a fun time. And that's kind of it. Sometimes you just got to get to it. The best show. Let's do it.
Jersey, back again. I
Oh, it's the best show here. Tuesday night. What's up, everybody? My name's Tom. I'm the host for tonight. Might change. Got a good group out there. AP Mike, how are you, Mike? He's good. He's fired up. Dudio, he's good. Pat's fine. Pat gets the points. Good. Mike gets 2 points. Dudio -2. Pat 6. For saying fine. Dudio, little monkey see monkey do action. Monkey see monkey Dudio. You guys can order pizza. It's up to you. You want it, order it. You know you have the eternal green light now to order pizza. Well, I have Alva Slice. What do you want, Mike? Pizza? I was like, when this guy, this is, nothing gets me. It's Michael down to say, yeah, I'll have a slice. Oh, you don't do us any favors. Acts like I'm putting him out to put a slice of pizza in his mouth. Yeah, I'd have a slice. Oh, geez, would you? Would you? Oh, I really appreciate it so much. If you, oh, thank you, Mike. Yeah, I'd have a slice. Ugh. Like, I love him. God, I love him. I love the guy. Love him. I love you, Mike. I tell you, he was in paradise last week. Andrew Dice Clay called in. That was for him. That was paradise. I never saw a bigger smile on his face. When Andrew Dice Clay called up, Kevin Corrigan got him to call and got him to do his toilet routine. I tell you, I never saw Mike. Mike was, that was a Christmas morning for Mike. But I'm telling you right now, that was an exception. That was like the eclipse. That was the best show's eclipse, Mike. No, that was not a dam burster. That's in your fantasy. That's just now there's something we turn around the show's, like we're in, the Port Authority men's room. Like a writing on the bathroom wall. No, show's not gonna be, it's not bathroom wall radio, Mike. Although that would be a good name for a show, right? Bathroom wall radio. Would you host that? Why don't you come in here first? I want to actually ask you about this. Let's figure this out. Maybe we figured the next franchise out. Bathroom wall radio. What do you think? AP Mike presents, or the best show presents. I would have to get a producer thing. Like, so, yeah, there you go.
There's certainly an audience for.
Yeah, of course there is an audience for. Was that in question? Whether there's an audience for filth? Why, you weren't sure? You weren't sure people would rally behind?
Well, no, I'm
toilet
sure
talk,
is, but you know, I might expand the audience.
Yeah, might expand it. Yeah. Yeah, expand the audience.
That's what like I'm all about, you know.
Hose out a garbage audience. Can.
Expanding the market.
Yeah, it's like hosing out a dumpster, right?
Yeah.
Like the black sludge out of a dumpster. Uh-huh. What about that? What if we did a special series? What was it called again? Bathroom Wall Radio?
Bathroom Wall Radio, yeah.
Yeah, writing on the bathroom wall with AP Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen interesting things on the bathroom wall. I've seen interesting things on the bathroom wall.
Yeah.
As far as bathroom wall writing goes, I always admired the guys who could write real small, and they'd write in the cracks between the tiles. So you really had to scrutinize. You had to scrutinize that.
And
the
caulking.
Yeah, yeah.
They could write. They were just like, seems like that took practice.
Oh, yeah. It's a real art form, I think.
For them to just get it at the right angle.
Yeah.
And they'd know they were the right pen. That's not going to, It's not going to bleed.
And there's an art to bringing you in focus. You know, you have to get very close to it to read it. And then, you know, depending on what it says, you know, you're either, like, truly disappointed or, like, hey, you know, that was pretty brilliant. It was worth my effort.
I was shocked by some of the – you know where I was shocked? There's the diner in Jersey City that we're not going to name. There's a diner that has an inordinate amount of – it's a decent diner. But you go in the men's room, an inordinate amount of just straight-up old-fashioned bathroom wall graffiti.
Yeah.
Like,
is it the one we've
frequented? Yeah, it's the one. Okay, it's the one we've gone to after the show.
Yeah, you're right. It did have...
Where you go in, it's just like, wow, this is like a throwback. The amount of just trash written on the wall.
And were there some... were there any phone numbers?
That's the really... Yeah, that's the true test. The phone number.
The phone number. You put a phone number... I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of people do to get back at their enemies, right?
I guess you must put the phone number on the wall to just try to... Yeah.
You know.
Can I make a pitch for this podcast?
Dude, here comes... Dude, I'm going to say... What's up to Mike? You got to ask Mike. Don't look at me.
Yeah,
ask Mike.
I'm welcome ask Mike. To suggestions.
Mike.
I'm welcome
to suggestions. I'm just a producer, I'm just a lowly producer of this.
What if Mike has to call one of those phone numbers in every show?
Wow.
Yeah.
Would you do that?
Yeah.
And then interview the person on the other side?
What'd he do? It'd be like a... Yeah, it's like a degenerate version of Chris Gethard's podcast where he gives the number out... Well, the lowest version is that you start writing the phone number of this show on the bathroom wall and see who calls in on Tuesday night.
It's an idea, too.
Maybe do that weird hotline. Yeah, the weirdo line.
Yeah, weirdo line.
Yeah. Bathroom wall calls.
I know a few bathrooms I could put the number up in.
I'm going to show you a picture, Mike. This is the greatest bathroom wall graffiti I've ever seen. It was in a Staples. It was in a Staples men's room. Someone wrote... Office Max rules in black. It looks like just Sharpie written on the wall.
How many? Now I thought you were going to show me. There was another famous one you took when the night of the accident.
Oh
right?
Yeah, the pig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have like a whole folder full of those that you've accumulated?
No, just those two. Those were the two that that made an impression on me. The one after my car accident on election night when I was at the tow facility or the scrap yard, basically.
Yeah.
And then they let me use the restroom, and written on the wall was pig, use the brush, clean S on toilet. Was it's kind of summed up the way things have gone since then. That that was an all timer for bathroom. We're gonna figure this out now. Bathroom wall radio with AP Mike.
Yeah,
you maybe get one of your friends here, right? You get all your crew. I don't want them in here though.
Crew member.
Yeah. I think it might be time, like a spin-off show.
Yeah,
right?
There you go.
Yeah, if the Mike show happened.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, that was a phenomenon.
But now we get a new, and then you also had with Therese, you did
Depravity's Rain. Yeah,
that was fun. But now the new era of Mike, Bathroom Wall Radio.
Yeah, okay,
right?
Yeah,
I would. I think. Let's figure it out.
Yeah, let's workshop it.
Yeah, let's workshop it. Yeah, we'll do table read. All right, Mike, thank you. Get out. Yeah. So, what did we hear music-wise? I played a couple songs by Monster Magnet. I played Negasonic Teenage Warhead from Dopes to Infinity. And I played I Live Behind the Clouds from Last Patrol.
and those two songs go out to a guy who passed away a few days ago, Jeff Pettit, down in Nashville. He was a co-founder of Fond Object Record Store, which is one of my favorite stores, and it's a great, it's a fun, great place. It's the centerpiece to a fun, great scene, and he was a great guy, and yeah, like a legitimately good guy. Always talked about Monster Magnet with me. He passed away a few days ago, unexpectedly, truly heartbreaking, because he really just, that was a good guy. I mean, I'd been to Nashville a bunch in the last few years, and stopping into the store and seeing him at the store, always a highlight. He was a legitimately great guy, the kind of person that, you know, just the world doesn't have enough of. And it's a horrifying, sad, tragic loss, and our condolences to everybody and any events or things that are going on in his memory we'll talk about on the show or on Twitter. We'll get the word out. And, yes, so just the worst. So, rest in peace, and my sincere condolences. You will be missed, Jeff. And the phone number here, 201-332-3484. We're just taking calls tonight, having a show. I just having a busy, busy week. Busy week. A little tired. I was sick. Got sick. Been fighting something, and been doing some work on some weird things, and it's so I'm a little tired. I apologize right now. First of all, I've been sick for a few days, and then got a chance to work on some last minute work thing. So that means Vape Triloquism has been postponed by 1 week. It's coming. My Vape Triloquism career will start. Planning on next week. Next week, guys, I will begin Vape Triloquism. Got to figure out whether I'm going to go get a little ventriloquist dummy and run a vape tube down his mouth. I don't know. We'll figure it out. So spot me another week. Going to figure that thing out. Yeah, so I was sick. Had a weird thing a few nights ago. My lady friend, Terry T, had some automotive trouble and had to get her car towed. So we were doing that. And I only mention this because of it was the tow truck, one of the weirder things that has ever happened was... Tow truck pulls up, AAA. Guy goes, guy gets out. And, say to him, how are you tonight? And he says back,
Quack, quack.
That's what he said. Quack, quack. How are you tonight?
Quack, quack.
Really? Okay. Yeah, by all means, let's get the car up on the thing here. I'm not worried you're going to tear the bottom out of it. You clearly know what you're doing.
Quack, quack.
How does someone do that even in a... It was so odd. That might have been one of the oddest things. Especially when people are like just stressed out, a car isn't running, and then you got to get a tow truck and it's raining and all the stuff. And it, I mean, then that's what you do.
Whack, whack.
What's that, Mike? No, he didn't just quack. He didn't make a whole lot of sense either, this guy. He's having a little internal monologue going. That he would eventually decide to let us in on what he was saying there. Yeah, I tell you, man. I said it last week. I said it a couple weeks ago to James Murphy on the full 3-hour interview with him that goes into the history books. Apparently doesn't go into Podmas or Splitsider, but yeah, they'll be proven wrong. Because I look at these things. Look, I'm not going down this road. Well, I actually am right now. Totally going down this road. Media blackout continues on the best show, apparently. The last 2 weeks, James Murphy, guys, hadn't done full interviews. He did one in England, and then he comes on and talks for 3 hours, answers every question. Yeah, I guess that's not good enough for Podmas. Or Splitsider. Splitsider's on the way out, too. I'm going to flush that site next. Right? Right down the turlet. Then last week, just Kevin Corrigan comes. This actor, a guy, one of the greatest guests on the show. He's bonkers. He's the funniest. He's as funny as it gets. That guy kills me. And he's so talented also. But then he gets Andrew Dice Clay to call, and he goes on a turlet tear. Right? And he mentioned, why would you mention that? No, of course not. Now let's talk about Hamburger Men. Onion rings. And look, I've listened to this show. People say, "Oh, you're putting them down." I listened. And by the way, who's saying that? Is that the Sausage King of Chicago? "Oh, you're putting them down." You know, this is, what's that guy's name? What did he say his name was? What? Remember?
This is Al.
Was it Al something?
The Sausage King of Chicago.
So that's how it is in their family. Ferris Bueller. Not a great movie. Not a great movie. Fun burst of energy. It's more energy than good.
Abe Froman. It's me, Abe Froman, Sausage King of Chicago.
Yeah, no. But look, who cares? Never going to watch Ferris Bueller in my life again. When am I going to sit down? Oh, let's put Ferris Bueller on. Yeah, pass. I guess if I did a thing where I talked about we'll do 1 minute of Ferris Bueller, analyze one, then I'd be a hero. They carry me through the streets at Podmas. Splitsider. He'd say, "Celebrate me from the rooftops." The best show. And look, Splitsider's fine. I'm just busting. I'm teasing them. They're fine. They could have written about the best show with Andrew Dice Clay. No, guess not. I listened to this Hamburger Man. I listened to Joe Mandy. Joe Mandy was on here. He was so funny on here. Let's do him on Hamburger Man. They're talking about Dunkin' Donuts. It was fine. It was fine. Was he 1,000 times better on here? Yeah, he was. Yeah. That's not his fault. I'm not saying who's to blame, but, might want to look in that, that Burger King mirror, Hamburger Man. And then this other thing, Blank Check, which again, I say, it's a good show. I've listened to episodes of it. It's a good show. I like the one guy a lot. The dude who's in it. I should have him on. The actor dude. The guy who's on The Tick. Griffin. I was talking to Peter Serafinowicz when I ran into him a few months ago. And he said he's a nice guy. All well and good. Look. It all happens. It's their moment. Their moment to shine right now. Are we, how many, are we 700, I think we're about 700 episodes in on the best show now. Can someone give me a total? I did a rough math on it. 700 at 3 hours a pod. Yeah, it's nuts what this thing has become. And I love it. I've seen them all come and go. Your Sean O'Neill's and your whatever. Like they talk all about Hollywood Handbook. They got 5 more episodes to talk about them. I talked to someone who I cannot say who it was, an insider at Hollywood Handbook, and they're down to 5 episodes. They're going to end at Halloween. I think they were going to do like a couple best of things to kind of stretch the run out, like retrospective stuff, and then they're going to do a live show that was going to be the final thing, which I think they were shooting for like Halloween to be when it would air. So not going to have them to write about much longer. They got 5 more to go. We'll still be here. Best show will still be doing it. Hey, yeah. Oh, oh. Remember? My guy, Eddie Vedder. Lead singer of Grunge's Allman Brothers. Pearl Jam. Remember when it was just like, hey, Grunge is really doing this thing that seems to be kind of changing certain things. Man, who's going to be their Allman Brothers, though? Oh, these guys. Oh, they'll be the biggest one of all, and they're not going to go away. Allman Brothers. Would I rather listen to a Pearl Jam record or an Allman Brothers? That's, oh boy, that's... Eat a peach. Can you imagine sitting down and listening to that? Right? Oh, my God. Rather eat, I don't know. There's a lot of things I'd rather eat than listen to Eat a Peach.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
What's on Eat a Peach? Whippin' Post? Melissa? Which one's that? Sweet Melissa. Oh, yeah. Oh, that one. Michael. You know that one. Sweet Melissa. Oh, that one? Yeah, what, the Shags? Look, I got no time for the Allman Brothers. That ship sailed. Those clowns with their two drawn. Look, oh, rest in peace to all, of course. I wish ill on anybody. This show's about love. That's one thing you gotta understand. The best show is a loving show. We're nicer than every other show that's out there. Every one of these other shows, everybody, I don't care. I moan about these little things. I don't care. I've been here before it. I'll be here after it. This is the top of the mountain, baby. Best show. We did it, and we're going to keep doing it. I'm telling you what I'm ready to do with this show. You get ready. I'm going to throw everything out on this show. Crack the whole thing open again. I'm working on a couple things. Throw the whole thing out. Show's going to start getting weirder now. You know what I want to do? For Halloween for us? Because Halloween's on a Tuesday this year. What do you think about that? What would you think about this? Halloween, me and AP Mike, this is what we do. Hold it down here. Dudio and Pat hold it down. They get to host the show from here. Look, and I know, where's Tom? Don't worry, Tom's on the phone. I'll call in. Me and Mike and like Fred from Honolulu, we'll drive around. We'll do what? Do we have to bring Fred? There we go. Yeah, we do, Mike. Yeah. Or maybe me and Fred. Then you can hold it down here, Mike. You have that much of a problem with it. Look, he's all right. I know a lot of people hate Fred from Honolulu. They think he's a windbag. His calls are boring. I hear all the complaints. They think he's a five-star snooze. He has no point. His calls are rambling at best in terms of focus. Those are some of the things. And those are the people who like him. But we'll figure out. It'll be me and someone. You don't have to do it, Mike. You take the night off, Mike. Finally, take the night off. I don't want to put you out. Yeah, I guess I could eat a piece of pizza. Yeah, this guy. Please, could you? Can you choke this slice of pizza down? So we'll drive around. We'll do some predetermined stops, and we'll give out candy. What do you think about that? Wouldn't that be fun? Do that on Halloween, a couple months away. No, I'm not doing. And here's the other thing. You know what else we could do, Mike? Did you see that thing? The trip to Steve Coogan and Rob Brydon, where they go to different restaurants. What if you and I did the trip to Bayonne and we went around and ate at different places and just talked? Wouldn't that be nice? Maybe eat at that Quick Check you're so fond of. They're building a new one. They're building, look out, Bayonne. That new Quick Check. You guys did so right by the Quick Check franchise. There's another one on the way. They're probably both going to run each other out. Then there'll be no Quick Checks. We'll start figuring some things. I got to also do, I'll do next week. Next week, how about this? Part of the show, Tom Can't Complain. I said I would do it. Tom Can't Complain 2. Next week. Where you get to call up and talk to me and try to get, and you got it. You can talk about stuff and I got to sit there and just take it. I can't complain or I get fined. We'll do that next week. Next week we'll have, Vaptriloquism, Tom Can't Complain 2. Another thing I want to figure out is this cat. We did Dogcember. We have to figure out the cat equivalent. I said I would. Didn't do it. Got to make that happen at some point. The cat equivalent of Dogcember. What would I call it? What would I call Saturday Night Live? What? Cat Tember. So in September, we'll do a cat night. Cat Tember. And all you people can call, you know, the cat people can call and talk all about their cats. Got to figure out what that'll be. These cats aren't going to bark. That's the best thing about Dogzember. You get these dogs going nuts. And wait till Dogzember this year. I'm going to have Good and Poochie down here. In studio. Good and Poochie. Me and Good and Poochie for 3 hours. Horsing around. Bring some treats down. I've been training Good and Poochie with got one of those kind of like cloth dummies, and I put AP Mike's face on it, and I smear bacon all over it. Getting ready, Mike. You're gonna meet Good and Poochie. Best show.
Tom, it's Roy. You gotta help me.
Roy.
Yes.
Philly boy Roy.
Yeah.
How are, well, for people, well, let me just say, Philly boy Roy is the guy from Philadelphia, Roy Ziegler, who's been calling the show for a long time and checks in, and it's great to have you back on the show. What do you need help with?
I'm in big trouble.
You're in big trouble. What trouble?
The cops are after me, as is a large percentage of Philadelphia.
And they're after you?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I believe the technical name for the crime is flagrant eclipse fraud.
Flagrant? What is flagrant eclipse fraud?
Well, I'll give you a little backstory, okay?
Uh-huh.
Well, Roy Jr. told me I could make a fortune selling them eclipse glasses. You know, the ones that block out almost all the light so you can see the moon passing between the sun and the earth.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm actually surprised by the grasp you have on what the eclipse actually is.
Oh, that's not too insulting at all, is it?
Well, it's, you know what, it might be insulting, but you've given me every reason to end up there.
Well, look, I didn't go to Harvard and Yale like you did.
Yeah, you're right. I'm just an Ivy League guy.
I could tell, yeah.
Yeah, you hear the patches on my jacket, my elbow patches rustling.
Yeah, I can hear that tweet a smooshing.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what you're hearing. It's not tweed elbow patches, boy. Is that what it sounds like? That sounds like a lawnmower. Somebody's trying to start a lawnmower.
Well, you know what they say? One man's lawnmower is one man's tweed jacket.
Okay.
You can take that to the bank.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, speaking of, so Roy Jr. said that he found a couple skids of NASA-made eclipse glasses.
Uh-huh.
And that I could make a fortune selling them for like 10 times what they're going for at Wawa and Cumberland Farms.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, I'm actually taken aback now, and this is probably the first time in the history of this show, Roy, that you are going to be on the receiving end of this question that's phrased this way.
Oh, now I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. Okay, shoot.
You said that Roy Jr. found a couple skids of these NASA-made eclipse glasses?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Roy, define found.
Oh, you got me. The hunter is now the hunted.
Yeah, it's like that police song.
Yes.
The student is now the, right?
Every breath you take.
Alabaster. Right? When you find the student is the master.
Oh, the candle song, yes.
The candles, yeah.
Yes.
The.
You know, it's funny, it was 34 years ago. What day was it? Sunday. I saw them at JFK Stadium. On that tour, Synchronicity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, guess who opened?
I couldn't guess in a million years.
Joan Jett. Madness.
Mm-hmm.
little band called R.E.M. opened up with a 20-minute peppy set.
That's a good bill.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's a good bill. Was now, when they did the video for, like, because they did the videos were the one, it seemed like those videos for that record, they really broke the bank on the Synchronicity video.
Oh, was that the Tower of Garbage video?
Yeah.
That was Sync 2, wasn't it?
That's Synchronicity 2, they're where, it's like, that was when Sting decided that he liked clothes that were run through a paper shredder.
That's right. He was like a paper shredded Mad Max.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, it's like, you know what?
Confetti Max.
Do you know what Mad Max was missing?
What?
It was a reggae influenced pop punk trio. So yeah, they kind of provided that. But then the other videos, like, that album was so huge, then so the one with the wrapped around your finger, what did they just write, say, yeah, we'll just have some candles?
Well, you know, I don't know, maybe them candles was expensive.
They could have, well, they were very long, so maybe
they were long, and what you don't know about that video, I don't either, was them candles scented?
A narrow candle like that, I don't always think is a scented candle, but who knows?
I don't know.
Maybe that's where all the money went for that one.
Could have been. Could have been.
Well, Roy, I appreciate you checking. Wait, we were in the middle talking about, we're not talking about Police music videos. I had asked you to define found.
Oh, right. Well, look, Tom, we can argue Samantha's all night, okay?
Mm-hmm. Semantics.
What's that? We're going to talk about the romantics now for an hour or two?
No, we're not going to talk
Drummer sang that first hit. He didn't sing nothing else as far as I know. And then he was out of the band.
Yeah. Remember that?
Boom, black slacks. Now, that's Robert Gordon.
Yeah, well, all right, Roy.
A lot of cold studios in rock and roll. Black Slacks, My Generation, and What I Like About You. It was so cold in them studios that they were stuttering.
To keep the equipment cool, it really impacts the singers.
It's like when you're on Conan, which I've been on like 4 times.
Uh-huh, they keep it cold. You've been on Conan 4 times?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In what capacity?
Oh, you name it. Sketches. I've been couch guest twice. Mm-hmm. Music guest.
You, Roy Ziegler, was a musical guest.
I was, yeah. I was playing in the Spin Doctors for a bit.
Okay. For a bit. You were in the... Yeah. I didn't... Look, that's a whole...
I was in Kiss, too.
You were...
I was in Kiss for like 2 months. It was right after Vinnie Vincent left the band.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you were helping in that period where they went from Vinnie Vincent to Eric Carr?
I should hang up right now.
Mark St. John.
Yes, and Eric Carr was the drummer, you ditch.
I get it now. Yeah, look, I'm sorry I don't have
although
the line.
I give you points for Mark St. John. That's deep knowledge. Namaste. I tip my hat to you.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay. Well, look, anyway, getting back to what I was trying to tell you about why I'm so scared.
Yeah, you were very scared.
I'm really scared again.
There was a stretch where you were super scared.
I was jubilant for a little bit. Now I'm scared again.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So.
So look. From Sunday to Monday, I sell like 5,000 of these Eclipse glasses for $20 a pop, right?
Okay.
And like, that's enough for me to get my dune buggy gold-plated, which I did twice.
You got your dune buggy gold-plated.
Twice. Yeah, and truth be told, you really can't tell that it got double-dipped, so it was kind of a waste of money.
Sure. I guess, yeah, you might have gotten taken for, no pun intended, taken for a ride if they only single-dipped your dune buggy. And you'd think that would be...
I get it. I didn't get it at first, but now I do.
And it seems like it would be hard to, I don't know, turn the steering wheel, for example. Or maybe the engine might
pay some kind of price for being lowered into a vat of gold.
Well, there is a price that the engine did pay.
Which is?
It throws the F up. It's like a gold block. So, what can you do?
Yeah.
Right?
They said it best.
Well, here's the worst part of this whole story, all right?
Yeah.
Turns out the glasses?
Uh-huh.
All of them?
Uh-huh.
Faulty?
Uh-huh. But you said something about them being NASA made eclipse.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
They were. It said right on the glasses. Eclipse Incorporated, made in NASA.
Uh-huh. Made in NASA.
Yeah, yeah.
Not by NASA.
No, in.
And how is NASA spelled?
NASSAUY.
Well, that's Nassau, which is in the Bahamas.
I know!
Yeah, it's a town in the Bahamas.
I know! That's where they shoot off them spaceships! Crack a Ron Howard movie much? It don't sound like I do.
Okay, that made my head spin.
Good.
Not in a good way.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was a bad way to have your head spun.
Well, The Exorcist would be a bad way to have your head
spun. Oh, I love that movie.
Uh-huh.
I love 3.
Exorcist 3.
Yes, has one of the greatest lines of all time.
What was it?
Okay. The priest, he's in his bed, right? He's in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And George C. Scott comes in. And the priest, you know, he's like a real curmudgeon, and he lights up a cigarette, right? He's in his bed in a hospital. It's a very interesting scene. He's smoking a cigarette, and George C. Scott goes, "Those things will kill you." And the priest goes, "They're quiet." Love it. It's a good line, right?
Good line, sure. No, that's
one of my favorite flicks.
Uh-huh. Exorcist 3.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
You don't judge me, I judge you.
I'm not judging you. It's an interesting little tidbit.
Yeah, so anyway, look. So it turns out that these glasses were just these old defective sunglasses that Roy Jr. found behind Eclipse Gentlemen's Club up in Perkiomenville.
What is Eclipse or the Eclipse Gentlemen's Club?
Well, I think what you really mean is what was the Eclipse Gentlemen's Club?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, it was a strip club that got closed down because it was too raunchy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I only went there once, and I'll tell you, Tom, I was so uncomfortable, I had to leave.
Uh-huh.
And I have done and seen literally everything under the erotic sun, so I'm telling you, it was tough stuff.
Ugh, everything under the erotic. That's the least poetic thing I've ever heard that sounds poetic.
That's Shakespeare by way of Roxborough.
I have seen and done literally, what was it?
I have done and seen okay. Literally everything under the erotic sun.
Under the erotic sun.
Yeah. But look, the Eclipse Gentlemen's Club?
Yeah.
You go in there and it's like, you know, you've heard of like topless service, right?
Sure.
This was topless and bottomless. And I'll tell you, at one point they... Until... Running around.
Yeah, I had to bleep all of that.
All over the hamburgers.
Yeah. Ugh. I wish I bleeped that. Wish I didn't hear what I heard while I was bleeping it.
Well, Tom, you know, life's full of things we don't want to hear.
Yeah.
Really is.
Uh-huh.
Anywho, look, so... The Eclipse brass must have realized at some point that the promotional sunglasses that they had made for them, that they was defective, and they must have just, like, wheeled these skids out behind the club and left them to rot.
Uh-huh. So that you say they're defective sunglasses.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with them?
Well, you know how the function of sunglasses is to block the sun?
Yeah.
Well, these glasses serve the exact opposite function.
So these glasses let the sun in?
Well, not only that, they magnified the sun.
Oh, they okay.
They did, yes. Yeah. And so you can imagine what those glasses did when people put them on to look at the eclipse.
Oh, I can only imagine. Their eyes must have been severely damaged.
Not only that, man, people was running around Independence Mall with flaming eyes.
Their eyes were actually flaming.
Yes. It was like everyone in Center City was that guy from the cover of Blackout.
Wait, the cover of Blackout?
Oh, please don't tell me you don't know what Blackout is.
It's an album?
Yes!
Okay.
Oh, it's 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a breakthrough for this band.
Okay, I think I got you.
Break it out.
There's no one like you.
That, yes, yes, that was the breakthrough single, Scorpions, 1982.
Yeah. And the cover of that album had a guy on it.
Yes.
His eyes were not on fire, though.
What was going on with them?
It was a very troubling cover.
That he had forks in his eyes. He was a fork face.
Yeah, it's a really stupid album cover.
Well, look, it's based in fact because that's what was happening to these people after they looked into the sun.
They were getting, it was like they had forks buried in their eyes.
Yeah, the sunlight was forming forks in their eyes.
Uh-huh.
It's something that actually occurs in nature. It's called flagrant fork fascia.
Fork fascia.
Yeah.
Okay. I was not aware of that phenomenon. But.
Well, you know, I can't begrudge them their anger, all right? Yeah, I'd be a little upset, too, if I had burning fork eyes and if my face turned bright blue.
Uh-huh. Their faces turned bright blue.
Yeah. That's also something that occurs in nature. It's called flagrant azure fascia.
Okay. I didn't realize you were such a fan of nature.
I love nature. I love to go out into the park and do stuff.
Yeah, okay, well.
We don't need to get into what I do.
I don't know if that has so much to do with nature as it is. Nature happens to be a place where it's harder to catch you.
Well, yeah, I can really leg it, as they said in Rude Boy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
oh, hey, speaking of movies.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a little moment for a little memory, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a donut?
Where are they?
Don't get no better than that, do it.
That's, that was Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, hardly working.
Yeah. The movie where he was a 51-year-old man trying so hard to get his first job.
I know you're being really sarcastic, but that's basically my life.
That's fair, I guess.
Right?
I guess you are kind of like Jerry Lewis in Hardly Working.
Barnaby.
His name was Barnaby.
Right? You've heard the Yellow Tango song.
Barnaby, that's what that's about?
Duh, yeah.
Well, you learn something new every day. How about that?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Ira, he didn't know that.
Wait, who? Ira's there with you.
No, he just left.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So anyway, look. Everyone had fork face, and they had the bright blue faces also, and they were chasing me through the streets. It was like 5,000 rabid fork faced Oompa Loompas in flyer jerseys after my ass. Yeah, and then I got in trouble for taking a whiz on the Frank Rizzo statue near City Hall.
Yeah, which has actually been in the news. The Frank Rizzo statues. People want to take that statue down.
because of his poor record and his the corruption and abuse of power and being offensive and just a really discriminatory guy. And
okay, you've made your point.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually got the statue blocked off because people had been protesting it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's I got to give you points. I never took you as that kind of guy, but it's pretty, Roy, politically aware, I guess is the way to say, for you to protest the statue being up by, you know, to use your words, taking a whiz on it.
Oh, I wasn't protesting. That's where I whiz when I got to go when I'm in Center City. I've been taking whizzes on that statue for years, and even though it was roped off, I figured, you know, I don't know, my whizzes was grandfathered in, right?
Oh, of course, that sounds logical. I could see how you would be shocked that that wasn't the case.
Well, to be truthful, the cops didn't see it that way either.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They tried to arrest me, but guess what I did?
What?
I did that thing that they do in movies when someone's in trouble, they're back in a corner and they go, "Hey, what's that up in the sky?"
Uh-huh.
And then the person looks up, and then the person who's in trouble runs off.
And that worked?
I'll tell you, it wouldn't have worked on any other day ever. They was about to cuff my ass.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, my God, guys, look, the eclipse is coming back." And they all looked up, and I ran my buns right out of there.
Uh-huh. You got them on. So the eclipse actually bailed you out of getting cuffed.
It did, and I ran. And I got to say, I'm way faster now that I only smoke cigarettes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
As opposed to?
Got an hour?
For the things you smoke.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't actually have an.
All right. But hey, you see that footage of Trump staring at the eclipse without his shades on?
Yes, I did see that. That was a funny picture.
It was. You know what? Mayor Rizzo, he would have looked at that eclipse for the entire duration of the thing.
Uh huh.
Yeah. While eating a hoagie with one hand and beating up deadheads with the other.
He didn't like deadheads.
No, no. Hated the counterculture.
Uh huh.
You know what? People been saying that Rizzo and President Trump are similar, and I do get it.
Okay.
Yeah, they share some similar characteristics.
Uh-huh, like what?
Well, you know, like super manipulative, narcissistic, insatiable lust for fame and power, flagrantly corrupt, liars, power drunk. Semi or fully racist, cruel, abusive, terrible sense of humor, counterculture hating. They both appointed reams of unqualified people to positions of power. What else? Many of those unqualified people being their own relatives.
Mm-hmm.
What else? They both engaged in bribery. Neither thought society's laws applied to them.
Mm-hmm.
What else? You know, I actually better stop. I got to be careful what I say, right?
What, are you worried Trump's going to come after you?
No, I'm afraid Rizzo's going to come after me.
Mayor Rizzo, Frank Rizzo.
Yeah.
Who's been dead for over 35 years.
No, he ain't.
He's not?
No, he's in the statue.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's in the statue. You know, if you look at the statue, he's got his hand up in the air like he's waving.
Uh-huh.
That's his death pose. He was actually reaching up to strangle Phil Lesh, who was in his tour bus outside the Spectrum.
So, Frank Rizzo, that's... Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And Rizzo had a heart attack at that moment. And they bronzed him before he actually died. He wasn't dead.
Okay.
He's still alive in the statue.
He's, okay, yeah.
He is. My old lady, Philly girl Cheryl.
All right.
She still lays tasty cakes at his feet. And you know what?
What's that?
They're gone in the morning.
Uh-huh. Well, Roy,
that's... Answer that and stay fashionable.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, maybe you're the dumbest thing I've ever heard!
All right.
I've done my research. Now you do yours.
Do my research on what? That some tasty cakes outside of a statue? How's that?
There's decades and centuries worth of stories of people surviving for years in statues.
Well, I guess I don't know enough about it. I guess when I went to Harvard and Yale, they didn't teach about people living inside of statues.
That's because all you learned about was badminton.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was... most of our studies did revolve around badminton.
Right. I think every one of your classes was like that scene in Trading Places where those four guys are singing that stupid song to those ladies in the country club. Remember that?
Yes. The barbershop type song.
Yeah. That movie also has one of my favorite lines of all time.
What's that?
I'm a karate man. Karate man booze on the inside.
I'm a karate man. Karate man what?
Brews on the inside.
Okay. Yeah, that didn't pop out for me as one of the top lines.
Okay.
Got a real problem.
Hey, speaking of being in stuff?
Yeah.
Seriously, you gotta help me.
What? Wait, help you with what?
I'm trapped in the eclipse.
All right, this... what do you mean you're trapped in the eclipse?
Did I stutter, boy? I'm in the eclipse!
Did you... boy.
Who's right. wearing the pants now?
I'm letting that... How did you get trapped in the eclipse?
What do I look like? Mike Tyson the grass leaf? How should I know?
Mike Tyson the grass leaf? Or what did you just say?
Mike Tyson the grass leaf. He's only the biggest... scientist, the most famous scientist that's ever walked.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Who?
That's the name you're trying to say.
Oh, I thought it was Mike Tyson the grass leaf.
No, you're way
all
off.
Right. Well, anywho, I'm in the eclipse.
You're in it.
Yeah, I'm in space and it's so dark here.
Uh-huh. So it's dark, is it cold?
No, actually it's kind of warm.
Which, I mean, you'd think if you were stuck in space, it would be cold. Well, let's try to figure this out. You said it's dark. Can you describe anything around you?
Oh, hang on.
Like, can you feel anything?
Oh, hang on. And there's something here that feels like, feels like a laundry basket or something full of clothes.
Okay.
Hang on, over here. Feels like a tire jack.
Uh-huh.
That's weird.
Yeah, Roy, it sounds like you're in the trunk of a car.
What? No way, man. Listen, if I've ever been sure of one thing in my life, it's that I'm stuck in an eclipse right now. And if I'm lying, Jeff Bezos doesn't have porno arms. Have you seen his new porno arms? It's so weird. It's like Kenny Aronoff, but he's like an internet dude.
Yeah, he must be at the warehouse moving around refrigerators or something.
I think you got it. He's doing skids. He's doing fridge presses.
Yeah, like when somebody orders like a washing machine, he's like, he'll like get in front of the computer and the order comes up. He'll be like, I got this one.
There goes Jeff again.
Yeah, he's really filling all those orders.
He's doing these. He puts on his weight belt, and then he lifts. I've seen him lift like big sinks, marble sinks.
And then puts them in one of those Amazon boxes.
He does, yes.
He drops it into a box with some packing peanuts.
He's his own drone.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say this, Roy, before we... It is impossible to be stuck in an eclipse. It sounds like you're in the trunk of a car, like I said. On Monday, did you, like, do or take anything that, like any substance, like any drugs, maybe, that are altering?
Just a flagrant load of shrooms. I mean, it was Monday. What else am I going to do?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Well, I got to say, as you talk through all this and I look back at the things you talked about, it seems like perhaps you hallucinated everything you talked about, like the faulty glasses and the people with blue faces with forks in their eyes and flames, and then the Frank Rizzo statue, and then getting caught in the eclipse. You might have hallucinated all of that.
Oh, my God. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like it was all some kind of bad dream?
Yeah, like I would... It seems like you took the mushrooms and then freaked out during the eclipse and then hid in the trunk of a car and maybe fell asleep.
You know what? I think you might be right. Oh, my God, it's like waking up from a bad dream. I'm so relieved.
Yeah, you know, I think you're okay, Roy. You're okay.
Oh, my God. I'm so relieved, and I'm also so lucky to have such a best friend like you to talk me down. Thank you so much.
Well, look, I'm glad. Look, best friend's probably a strong word, but that's nice of you to say.
I don't think so.
I mean, I'm glad you're okay and you're piecing this together.
You know what? I'm going to get out of this trunk. I'm going to go home. I'm going to grab Rhoda, Roy Jr., Rhoda Jr., little Rhoda, and give them all big hugs. Daddy's home.
That sounds great. That sounds great. And please give them my best.
I will.
Uh-huh. Cool. Well, I'm glad you're taking care of what's got to be taken care of from the right side of things.
Cool. All right, well, I'm getting out.
Okay.
What? Oh, no!
What is going on there?
It wasn't a dream, Bob!
It was not Bob?
Oh, my God! I got a four-eyed blue-faced mob after my haunches!
Roy? Oh, my God. That was horrifying. Ugh. He actually had a mob chasing after him. That guy's right. I guess he was right then. Yeah. The eclipse. Did you like it, Mike? You like the eclipse? It's okay. Pat, did you see the eclipse? Pat left. What? I can't hear what he's saying. Giant dog.
I never had a car to drive, but I got shit to do today. Can someone please give me a ride? It's on the way, it's on the way, it's on the way, it's on the way.
Well, I guess it's a different show now. Huh, Mike? The song had a few, bad words in it. But you know what? Giant dog.
one of my favorite bands. New album comes out, I think, on Friday. Toy.
It's great. It's so great. I love it. I love them. They're the best.
That song was called Fake Plastic Trees on the album Toy by a Giant Dog. Merge Records. This Friday. Love it. Go get it. I said go get it. Speaking of go get it, you know what else you got to go get? Tickets to see Sharpling and Worcester. October 21st. Two shows. First show sold out. Second show is selling fast. A lot more tickets sold. It is going to sell out. I'm telling you now. Because I want you to get your tickets. I don't want you to miss out. There's still tickets for the late show. For New York City. We're not touring this show. It is the Rock Rotten Rule 20th Anniversary Extravaganza. At Murmur in Brooklyn. M-U-R-M-R-R. You can search it over at Murmur. M-U-R-M-R-R dot Ticketfly. .com. It's almost sold out. These tickets are flying off the veritable shelf. I'm telling you this. First of all, I don't want to hear, I didn't get tickets. I can't. Sorry. You had your shot. They've been on sale. We added a second show. We added a second show for this very reason. And this goes for AP Mike and Pat. I tell you, if I'm doing this thing and I see Mike, I can't get in. Yeah, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. Yeah, maybe go see Dunkirk. I think Dunkirk might still be playing. I'll meet up with you afterwards. Enjoy Dunkirk. Yeah. Going to sell out. It is going to sell out. What's that now? The link is on Twitter. And by the way, Twitter, I quit Twitter a few weeks ago. Pat and Dudio are running the Twitter account now. And I'm going to say this. I love it. I love not being on Twitter. You're allowed. You're allowed to not participate in social media. Find the line that works for you and stick to it. Here's a big announcement. What is one of the most sought after things in the Besho history? Well, I'll tell you. It's a Friends of Tom card. We gave them out over the years as marathon premiums for people who pledged during the fundraising events at WFMU.
haven't been available in years. There has been no Friends of Tom card updated for this version of The Best Show, even. But here's what we're going to do. You know that you can support the show over at Patreon, right? Patreon.com/The Best Show. That's how you support The Best Show. We don't do ads. It is just a listener-sponsored thing where you, if you can give, then you give. Whatever you can do, you do. And we send you different things for different levels. That's how we do it. So get this. October 1st. When I look on October 1st and I see everybody who is giving $10 a month or more on October 1st, by October 1st, gets a card, a new Friends of Tom card. If you were giving and you stopped giving, then you might want to give $10 if you want the card. It's a way to pay for the card and all the expenses with it, and the mailing and all that stuff. And it's a way to support the show. And if you give now, you're probably going to give for 2 months to get that October 1st point. I can't track a million different versions of everything. I just can't. So, just know, October 1st, that's when the monthly billing kicks in for the end of September. You can jump on and give for a couple months now, or you wait and you do it for just the final end of September. Whatever. You do what you want. I'm just telling you. On October 1st, we're going through and seeing who is giving $10 or more. And those people are getting Friends of Tom cards, and that's the only way you can get a Friends of Tom card. That's it. Only way to get a new one.
Quack, quack. Quack, quack.
Hey, how are you tonight?
Quack, quack.
Weirdo. Best show. Hi.
Hey. Hi, Tom. This is Kevin from New Brunswick.
Kevin from New Brunswick. What's up, Kevin?
Oh, not so much. Doing some editing.
New Brunswick, New Jersey?
New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Well, as they say, how about that?
Do you have a favorite place in New Brunswick, Tom?
No.
That's good.
Do you?
Of course.
What is it?
Bugalo Park.
What?
It's called Bugalo Park. It's by the hospital.
Bugalo Park.
Yes, sir.
And what do you do at Bugalo Park?
Well, when I was a kid, you could ice skate. You could ride your bike. Mm-hmm. And then there's a big hill called Red Barn Hill where we would sled every winter.
And what are you doing now there, though? That's what you used to do there.
Well, right now, I'm working in the city, doing some video editing.
Hmm.
The reason I called, is because I wanted to thank you, first of all, for the show. I'm really enjoying it. I only recently became a fan.
It's sweet of you to say. Thank you.
What's your name again, Sonny?
Kevin.
Kevin, that's right.
With the world being so rough, I picked a real bad time to quit smoking.
Nah.
And the best show makes it easier, so thank you.
Well, that's nice of you to say. You know what they say, though? The world is a vampire. Start to change. That'd be a good karaoke song. Like old Joe, right?
That's actually part of my question for you.
What's that? If despite all my rage, I am still just a rat in a cage, is that your question for me? The answer is...
That was my first question.
Yes.
Second question is if... From what I've listened to on the show, you are a big proponent of karaoke.
Why, yes, I am.
And from what I've seen in the world, Donald Trump does not like to be challenged. I would like you to challenge Donald Trump to a karaoke.
Get off my phone. Sure, that's realistic. I'll challenge the president to a karaoke battle. You're on thin ice, Mike. Mike, try three. Best show, hi.
Yo, it's your boy, Jello Girl.
It's my boy. Is this Jello Man?
Yeah.
Jello Man. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? Now, let me just give some people some context for this. This guy is like a Philly character. He's like a mirth maker. A party starter, a home builder,
if you will.
He does everything. His name is Jello. He comes from a very musical family. His brother is a rock star named Kurt Vile, and his name is Jello Man. How are you tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good. Guess where I am?
Where?
I'm at a music festival. I just snuck in. I'm laying low right now.
What festival?
It's called LOCKN. So pronounced Locken, if you will.
And where's that?
You hear of it?
Where? No, I don't. Where's that?
It's in Virginia.
Okay.
I came in here. Acted like I was staff, and they let me right in. And I'm just laying low right now.
And who's at it?
Huh?
Who's performing at this?
The String Cheese Evidence, Bill Lesh, mm-hmm. Widespread Panic,
yeah,
the Avett Sisters. You hear them?
Yeah, you know what's good about that? All those bands are playing at that festival. Means mm-hmm. that everywhere that isn't there, those bands aren't.
Wait, say it again.
It's like Virginia's taking it on the chin for the rest of America right now by giving all of those bands a stage to play on. They can't, like, those bands are not they're not polluting the rest of America right now.
Well,
I don't have to worry about accidentally seeing Phil Lesh. What's the best Phil Lesh song, Mike? I want to tell you all about, what is it? Just like, I want to tell you all about, huh? What? I want to tell you all about going down to Magnolia Junction, everybody, yeah. Magnolia Junction, everyone, won't you go
That's
down?
That's Mike's jam.
Right? We're going to head on down to Magnolia Junction again. I want to tell you all about, I got stuck in a train station. Right? Mike?
What is that, Mike, Sam?
I met a pretty little lady in a flower dress. And she gave me, right? And she took me in. The Grateful Dead. I can't even sing a fake Grateful Dead song. I don't know. Mike gave me this CD to listen to. I can't bring myself to do it. James McNew gave me a link to watch of the Grateful Dead 72, and Mike gave me this other, the CD. I can't bring myself to do it. I can't.
Well, besides the music, I'm here for Jell-O and T-shirts, you know what I'm saying?
So you're selling your Jell-O shots.
I got 600 T-shirts. You know what's on them?
The Grateful Dead skull and a Jell-O shot, if I'm
You think I do that? No. I do my own little twist, if you will.
What is it?
You know, you ever hear of Trix, the cereal, or no?
Oh, you mean with the rabbit?
Yeah. If you look at my Instagram, you can see it.
How would I not have heard of that?
Well, anyway.
Yeah, I didn't get around to it yet. I didn't hear about it yet.
The Trix rabbit, right? The Trix rabbit.
Yeah.
Just like the cereal box.
Yeah.
And the Trix rabbit is on there. Instead, he's holding a guitar. He's looking down onto a bowl full of, like, crazy kids that are just in the cereal bowl. And then on the top where it says General Mills, it says Jell-O Man.
Yeah.
It says good Jell-O Man, like G and then Jell-O Man.
I got to get one of those shirts. I'm going to head down. I'm heading down to the fest.
I'll save you one.
No, I'll head down. I'll go buy one on premises.
Well, I got extra medium if you need it.
Yeah, let's do it.
I got extra medium. I got remedial, job medial. All my shirts are based off like the medium.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So you're running this operation there. You got your Jell-O shots.
Yeah. You got a problem with it?
No, I don't. Why would you think I'd have a problem? All I do is promote it.
I know. I'm just kidding.
A little touchy. Sounds like somebody needs a Jell-O shot.
I got about 2,400 Jell-O shots.
What's your favorite flavor? What's your favorite flavor of Jell-O shot?
I mean, I'm sick of Jell-O. You know what I'm saying? I don't even like it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm sick of it. But
when's the last time you had a Jell-O shot?
I mean, the people make me take them all the time. They're like, you got to take them with us. And I'm like, I always just try to figure a way to not take them, you know? But, and I'm actually being serious. Like, I mean, I will take them, but the whole point is you got to start at 9 a.m. and you got to work until it gets dark. I found out if you take Jell-O shots or drink anything during the day, it will enable you to get to the end of the day. And you got to get the ups and the downs of the day. You got to, you know. Bottom line is I don't like to drink when I'm working, but, you know, I drink wine. I'm drinking wine right now, box wine. I'm just hanging low.
That's
here
a good Grateful Dead song, Box of Wine. I love that one.
That's Mike's jam.
Yeah. You going to, why don't you bring Mike with you on one of these Jell-O retreats?
Well, usually you got to come Tuesday, so is he going to be able to, like, you know, answer the phones?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Look.
Yeah.
We can cover Mike here. Don't worry. I might just smear some pizza grease on the phone and let a raccoon wander in.
Excellent.
Still wouldn't end up with that guy calling, wanting me to challenge a president to karaoke. The raccoon would screen that one out. So, Beast, look, this is what I want for you, buddy. I want you to make a ton of money.
Yeah?
Just watch your back.
Man.
These hippies got a there's a dark underbelly with hippies, man. You watch
they
your
spend
back.
A lot of money, though.
Yeah. Watch your back.
Got the hippies and you got the electronic music kids, you know, the rave kids.
Mm-hmm.
They all spend money.
Good.
Do I want to listen to the music? No. But do I want to sell them Jell-O shots? Yes.
All I'll say, these hippies, the first thing these hippies were pushing was the guys go on the road, and the guys go out and
grilled cheese and fucking Bloody Marys.
Get down with all the ladies, and the ladies stay home and make the food. These hippies are weirdly traditional. Watch
hippie
your back.
Johnny.
They got like hippie Johnny. You got me. They got good a boy. Streak going. They got a weird streak in them. You watch your back with these hippies.
They got on O-Tom.
What?
I know.
I know you know. I'm just reiterating it. We're also talking to the audience, bro.
Oh, yeah. I always talk to just you, don't I?
What's that, Mike?
I always forget that I'm talking to the audience. I'm talking to you right now.
Don't worry, Jell-O man. This is what I want to do. I can't wait to see you. You excited about your brother's new album?
Yeah.
About Kurt Vile and Courtney
Barnett?
Courtney Barnett, yeah. I'm going to sell Jello on that tour, too.
Well, I'm sure he's just over the moon hearing this now.
Well, I'm going to go my own dime, if you will. I'm going to just sell along. What can he say? He'll feel bad for me at the end of the night. He'll want me to come to his hotel, but I'm just going to pay my own gas money.
He'll feel bad for me and tell me to come to his hotel at the end of the night. Well, I don't know if you want.
He's like, "Well, you all right?" He's like, "He wants me to not sell Jello shots," but then he's like, "Where are you staying?" And he feels bad.
Oh, this is getting depressing now. Look, gentlemen, you know I love you, buddy. I love you. I want you to be safe. I want you to come back here soon. Come to the studio.
Yes.
All right, bro.
All right, I'll talk to you. Sometime soon, right?
Have a great
tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, call me tomorrow.
All right.
Best show.
All right. Hello.
Hello, hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi, Tom. It's Shrikhan from Cleveland.
I could not hear you there. It's a little echoey.
Oh, sorry. It's Shrikhan from Cleveland.
Hey, how are you, Shrikhan?
I'm okay. Formerly from Titletown. Now I guess we're lots of point guard town. Did you see the trade?
I saw there was a trade went down. Isaiah Thomas, basically, Isaiah Thomas from the Boston Celtics was traded to Cleveland for Kyrie Irving. But then all these, but you also got Jay Crowder in it, and I think the Cavaliers made out pretty good on that. I think you're okay.
I hope so. But now we have several injury-prone point guards.
What do you think? Kyrie Irving, was that an Iron Man? Did I miss with that guy?
He was not.
So, look, Isaiah Thomas, that's an exciting guy. It's an exciting player. Him and LeBron now? That's a lot of – I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. I was calling because the last time I called in, I told you not to leave Twitter. You were pretty steadfast in your response, and it made me take a hard look at my own behavior on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And basically everything I do on Twitter is thinking up mean things to say to people that will never read what I say.
Okay.
So I spend a lot of time saying mean things to weird, MAGA chuds and white supremacists, and they're never going to read it. So I think you're right. I think you're right the whole time.
If it makes sense to you, you stay there and you do what you do. If you start to have that feeling like maybe this isn't working for me as much as it was, then you look and you figure out where's the best place for me to live with this. And for me, I just was so exhausted by it that the best place for me is to not be on it. And it has made sense. And I am happy that I took the leap on that. So you just,
I do miss seeing you on there a little bit.
Well, I wish I could say I miss seeing everyone else on it, but I kind of don't. You know what it has done? I'll say this, all seriousness, there would be a time I would think of like a thing and be like, oh, that's a tweet. And then I realized, yeah, it's a dumb pun that I didn't put out. I didn't put another pun out into the world. Or like these tweets that are like the easiest tweet in the world to do where you're just like, well, Steve Bannon seems like a cool dude. Like where you just write something like, well, he seems like a chill guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, I think I spent a lot of time trying to figure out, like, what's the most clever way to say that I think you're dumb. Like, yeah. that's a really silly enterprise to spend a lot of energy on.
Well, that's the thing. Your energy has value. That's all I would say. Everyone's energy has actual legitimate value, and it is something you are spending on social media, and you figure out how much of it you want to spend and where you want to spend it.
Completely fair. The other reason I called is because I had a bit of a confession. So I'm embarrassed to say I don't remember her name, but the person who calls in is really into Oreos.
Yes.
Yes. You chastised her a little bit for saying Oreo head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You remember that?
Oh, I do, yes.
So I work for a very, very large company, and we have this, like, this chat application that we use, and I just wanted to like, confess somewhere, and I thought the best show would be a good place, that I used the phrase, for all my Indian food heads.
For all your what? Indian food heads?
For all my Indian food heads.
Mm-hmm.
For all my Indian food heads, a restaurant is opening.
Wow. Yeah, I gotta say, I think blank anything heads is not my favorite, and I know Michelle, the Oreo lover, said Oreo heads, and it just I just don't like it. I don't think heads is a thing I like being applied.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah. To all your Indian food heads. Oh, boy. You.
I boned it. I totally boned it.
Well, you know, if you realize you did it, then that's the first step into undoing it.
On the bright side, Sweet Spirit is coming soon in Cleveland, so I'm excited.
Great. Yeah, you're going to love it. Giant dogs torn all over the place. Sweet Spirit's always torn all over the place. You can't go wrong with either band. All right, I got to take that. I got every phone line lit up here.
All right, Tom. Take it easy.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. You. Have a great night. Bye. Let me just send this email. Okay. Email sent. What else is going on tonight? Phone number 201-332-3484. Someone sent me this Logan Paul shirt to my house. I wish I knew who did it. I don't know. Who sent it? Because look, I love the Paul brothers. Everyone knows that. It's well documented. My love of their talent has gone for... It's ageless. It's been going on forever. Jake Paul... You know him. It's Everyday Bro. And his brother Logan Paul, the Low Gang, is his group. These are the YouTube dudes who are just kind of reinventing entertainment right now. Whether it's Jake Paul with his hit, It's Everyday Bro. My favorite video by them is the team-up one, because Jake Paul got on, he did a verse and he dissed his brother. And then Logan Paul came back and was just like, you watch it. And then they did a video where they, like, made up. And the music on it is a song, as I think it's called I Love You, Bro. Yeah, there it is. I love you, bro. It's every day, bro. Now listen to this song. Let's check this out. No, not that. Stop. Stop with the best show theme. Enough. Let's listen to some real music. Jake and Logan Paul.
It is not healthy for either of you.
This is their mother.
I'm hoping that you guys can do something about it, both of you together. and be the loving brothers that I know you are. Please.
I made this in one day.
I love you, big bro. I love you, big bro. And I want you to know that I'm so sorry for things I said. Sometimes I wish that our war would end.
All right. These Paul brothers, for people, it's like one, they're two big blonde dummies. Is that the worst music you've ever heard, Mike? I mean, that has to be top five worst. Like, it's like truly the worst thing you could hear, right? Why is that? It's not playing. They're taking it away from me. No, not that one. I want to play another.
Hey, sweetie. I'm really concerned about the situation with you.
I want
you
to hear the beginning.
Brother,
come on.
The loving brothers that I know you are. Please.
I made this in one day.
I love
he said,
you.
Oh, he said, to be fair, he said, I made this in one day. What is that, a bragging point? Big asterisk next to the song? I made this in one day. Like he's saying, hey, I know this sucks, but. I know this sucks. I'm saying it first.
I love you, big bro, and I want you.
And this
to
is Jake
know
Paul now.
That I'm so sorry for things I said. Sometimes I wish that our war would end. I want you to know they were just jokes. These times they get tough. That's just when we go. Oh, why can't it be like Ohio? LA changed us, but I want you.
So he's saying LA changed them because they were both in Ohio. LA, I have a feeling LA didn't change you guys. There's somebody on who was on Twitter just saying like, yeah, this kid Jake Paul was bullied me in fifth grade and now he's super famous. So it's like watching your grade school bully suddenly become a star.
No. That I love you, bro.
He's my little bro. Can't blame him.
Kinda. Now here's Logan Paul coming in with the strong lead-off verse.
But it's my job to tame him. He's a loose cannon, a live wire. But I see that he's calling for a ceasefire. We got the same last name, same blood. So much hate, but where is the love? Animosity, negativity. What happened to the smiles and the happy energy? Came up in Ohio, wasn't much to do. Then we found this place called YouTube. We made our dreams come true. Work hard and you can too. Yeah, we may have.
These guys are. I wish I came up with this. I'm so jealous. I wish I made this up. It would be the greatest comedic achievement of my life. Two dumb football playing blonde brothers go from Ohio to Los Angeles. And somehow one's more famous than the other. And then they just do these dumb videos where they just reference each other. They play the soap opera out in front of their audience. They're fighting with each other. Jake did a video making fun of his brother. And then just, oh, they did a song together. And you might think, yeah, it's some stupid thing. But whatever. See, it's terrible. How many views do you think that has, Mike? 2 million. Yeah, try 53 million. 53 million for I Love You, Bro. That said, Jake Paul has his group, Team 10, which is his network of YouTube stars. I would like to be the old guy in the house. And they all live in a house. I am formally requesting that I'd be allowed to join Team 10, add a little bit of wisdom to the group. Hey guys, it's me, Tom. I'm now on Team 10. Like, that's as bad as the rapping guy. Like, that actually could fly in one of those things. Hey everybody, it's your old friend Tom. Gonna rap, drop, like dropping the bomb. I'm in here with Team 10, having a good time.
We all live in the house in West Hollywood. Let's go up the road to Book Soup. See who's doing a reading, perhaps. One time I saw Jeff Garlin fall on the stairs here. Made me laugh, but I felt kind of bad about it. This store is weird. They have a lot of books. And they keep their surprisingly large men's room. Doesn't have a key. Anyone could come in, pretend they're looking at books, then walk into this surprisingly large men's room and use it, and lock the door behind them. Seems weird to have a bathroom in a store that locks behind it. But I guess that's how they do it at Book Soup. Oh, look, Ernie Anastas has a book coming out. He's going to be doing a... I need the music behind me. It just doesn't work. Hollywood. Team 10. I'm the old guy in the house now. Look, Team 10 for life. Me. Tom Sharpling. Logan Paul. Not Logan, wait, Jake Paul. Team 10. YouTube stars. Here we go. Going up to Book Soup. That's enough. Not doing that. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
To whom am I speaking?
It's Steven in Halifax, madly hitting the volume down button.
Steven in Halifax. What's up, Steven?
Well, last time I called a few weeks ago, I was in a hospital bed.
That's right. You were in a bike accident?
Yes.
How are you feeling?
I'm better. I still have three broken limbs, but one of my casts is off, so I can work my elbow, and it's holding the phone here.
Oh, what's the pain level for you every day, Steven? What's the pain level?
It's actually not bad. Like, I've got, the casts are really good. They're holding everything together. And I had a really good surgeon, so putting all the pins and things in, and I'm holding it together.
Good. I'm glad you're okay. Or getting better. You're clearly not okay, but you're getting there.
Exactly. And I'll be going back to work at some point in the near future, I hope. So.
And are you home now?
I am home, yes. I actually got out of the hospital the day after I called. They said I could get into my wheelchair on my own, and that was good enough for them. So.
Good, good. I'm glad you're home, and it's a horrible thing.
Well, I think you singing Jonathan Richman to me put me over the top and got me out of the hospital.
Well, I'm glad I could help, buddy. So what's going on? What's going on?
Oh, I've been having a bit of a Jerry Lewis marathon over the last couple of days. Very sad. I've been a fan since I was a little kid. I think it helps if you see him when you're a little kid first. Mm-hmm. I think if you try to comprehend him when you're an adult, it doesn't go so well. But, you know, I was, like, really young, and I saw Cinderfella for the first time. Mm-hmm. And that was it. I was hooked, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if you had a similar experience.
I did not. It was not my guy, Jerry
no.
Lewis. No. You know, my favorite Jerry Lewis movie is King of Comedy.
Yes, well.
It's a masterpiece. That's
a pretty unique film altogether.
Yeah.
And I also watched that episode of his talk show that flopped miserably.
I watched it a few weeks ago, the one where he interviews Muhammad Ali.
Cassius Clay, yeah.
Well, yes, at that point he was Cassius Clay, but he's like, I just want to say to you, and he already has that quality in his voice, that kind of pompous quality, and it's where he's just like, Ringling Brothers has nothing on you. You're a great fighter, but Ringling Brothers has nothing on you. And you're a showman. It's like, then like Muhammad Ali completely disproved all of that through so many different things that he was not just some like huckster showman.
Look, I say rest in peace to Jerry Lewis, but he had a full life, and I can't. I feel, you know, look, it's hard. Life is a tenuous thing, man. You understand what it's like. You got in that bike accident. That could have been it for you.
Oh, sure. I hit that curb the wrong way or something.
Yeah, who knows? Few months. Well, look, in November when I got in that car accident, that was it. There's so many versions of that where I'm in such worse shape. The only version of it where I get less, where I have less damage is there's no accident for what that was. I dodged such a bullet on that, but you know, it's hard. It's the line is so thin. And everybody's just got to appreciate it. And everybody in Nashville lost a good friend this week. The Jeff Pettit, who owns the Fond Object store. So it's just everybody. It's hard. You got to appreciate it. You got to appreciate the people in your life because I don't know. It's just things takes nothing for things to change. Well, I'm glad you're okay, buddy.
Yep, getting there. In fact, tomorrow I have my first phone interview for a story since I've been out of the hospital, getting back into work and writing stories and stuff, and it's with Brian Wilson, and I'm freaking out.
You're going to talk to Brian Wilson tomorrow?
On the phone, yeah, in the afternoon.
You got to ask him one question, I'm telling you. No joke.
This is why I'm bringing it up.
Ask him about the concept album Pleasure Island that he was working on that he never finished.
Oh man. Was that with the Paley Brothers?
I don't know, but he talked about a concept album Pleasure Island that he had been working on.
Like Pinocchio?
Let's see. Brian Wilson, Pleasure Island. I'm looking it up. He says, let's see. I got to read you what Pleasure Island was about. Pleasure Island.
I'll throw that in there.
Yeah. Look, you're the reporter. Look up Pleasure Island.
Yeah, I will do that.
A rock fantasy. That was supposed to be his next concept album. Ask him about Pleasure Island. Will we ever see Pleasure Island?
There's a bunch of those scattered through the history.
We'll ask
Adult the child and so on.
Well, that's at least out in some form. It was a bootleg. Pleasure Island, we ain't got nothing.
Nothing, no.
Ask him about it, please. Please.
You
ask
got
him
it.
What's up with Pleasure Island. Ask him when we will we get a Pleasure Island box set? Pleasure Island. I want to know about it. Remember that, Mike? Mike doesn't remember. I'm done with Mike. I'm telling you. We're done. Mike, you had a good run here. Pleasure Island. Bring it back. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
Keep getting better. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. Julian in Los Angeles.
Julian in Los Angeles. Where in Los Angeles are you, Julian?
Silver Lake.
Ah. Silver Lake. What's up in Silver Lake
tonight? I just wanted to call and talk to you about a class that I took in college that I think you'll enjoy.
What class?
The Music of Frank Zappa.
Wait, what school taught that?
Indiana University.
How many credits did you get for that?
Whatever the maximum amount you can get for a course. There's a 400-level course.
All right, this is what I need from you. This is what I need from you.
Yes.
A syllabus.
I can email it to you. I'm looking at it right now.
I need
online.
Please send. I need the syllabus. I need you to send me one of your papers.
I don't have any papers, but we did have to read the autobiography of Frank Zappa and watch 200 Motels.
What? You got credits for that?
Yeah.
I read at least one Frank Zappa book. And I've seen 200 Motels.
That movie is actually what the most pivotal moment in the course took place during that movie.
All right. Send me those things. What was the moment?
We walked into class. We had to listen to a couple of Frank Zappa songs and discuss them. This was a two-hour-long course. So we go into class. The first half hour, we go over a couple of Frank Zappa songs from the album 200 Motels. And then the professor told us that we're going to watch selected moments from 200 Motels.
Mm-hmm.
And within 30 seconds of him starting the DVD, about a third of the class walks out. As soon as the lights turn off and everybody is facing forward,
mm-hmm.
the back third of the class just sneak out. And the professor gets so angry,
yeah.
he pauses the movie, stands up in front of everyone remaining,
yeah, here we go.
And starts yelling at us about people walking out.
Uh-huh.
And he's yelling for about 4 minutes before he realizes that we're the people who stuck around to watch 200 Motels.
Yeah, he's yelling at the wrong people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You stuck around and watched it. First of all, just answer me this, though. You go to school.
Yeah.
Do you really feel like, boy, that was the best use of my time at that school? Or were you just like, yeah, this is a fast couple credits?
It was a fast couple credits, but I feel like I retained the most knowledge from that course.
Well, that's even worse.
I know.
That's all you remember about school is Frank Zappa? Peaches and regalia? Yeah, well, you know what the bummer of this one is, Julian? Not that mysterious. Mine's not that mysterious on this one. You grabbed a few credits. You could have learned something. You know how to type?
Yeah, barely.
Well, you could have taken a typing class. You could have been a better typist. Thing I got out of high school, man. Typing. It's all I took.
Yeah, well, I know more about the Synclavier than most people.
Well, there you go. You learned all about Frank Zappa. Proud. Sure that helps you on that job application, right?
Yeah.
Which Frank Zappa album will you be listening to 5 years from now? Jazz from
probably
home.
Joe's Garage.
Yeah, probably Joe's Garage. Which part?
The first half.
Of course. Everyone knows that. Well, Julian, thank you for the call, buddy. Take it away. Don't you want to stay till the lights go down? Seriously, who sent me the Logan Paul shirt? I just need to know. Just fess up. That's all I want to know. I'm happy I have it. You kidding? I want to thank you. But you had to be mysterious about it, didn't you? Here we go. Here's the syllabus. Course description. Z402 is a detailed survey of the life and musical career of rock music's coolest composer, Frank Zappa. We trace Zappa's creative output from his work with Mothers of Invention through his solo projects, his big band period, his orchestral and chamber compositions, and finally, his groundbreaking work with the Synclavier. All of Zappa's commercially released albums are discussed, and students are responsible to know a set listening list of materials from these releases. What a shameful thing. This school should be shut down. Indiana University. Shut it down. This is actually, you're clogging up the... It's sickening. This is actually a good thing. Someone paid more than 50 cents for this. Can you imagine this? Let me start teaching some classes. Right? I'll teach you what, Mr. Show. I'll teach a class on Mr. Show. Jake and Logan Paul. Analysis of YouTube superstardom. In this class, Professor Sharpling will teach about Jake and Logan Paul, covering their days in Ohio up to their move to Los Angeles. Jake securing and losing a job on the Disney Channel show Bizardvark, and Jake's subsequent hosting of the Kids' Choice Awards. Let me in the house, guys. Can people tweet at Jake Paul, let Tom in, hashtag let Tom in the house. Hashtag let Tom in the house. I was about to say to myself, okay, talk to you later. Talking to myself. I almost said, okay, talk to you later, bye. I might wrap up early tonight, because again, I was sick. It's a lot, I'm here, we did something, right? Right? Look. Did the pizza show up? Not yet. When's it getting here? Alright, any minute now. God forbid these guys don't get their pizza. You think it's made of oxygen? You think they inhale pizza and exhale carbon dioxide? The pizza crew out there. The pizza boys. That's what I'm calling them now. The PGs. Like the Bee Gees, but with pizza. The Brothers Pizza. Call them the Pizza Brothers. Mike, Pat, Jason, the Pizza Brothers. Which one's your favorite Pizza Brother?
Oh, I like Jason. He's my favorite Pizza Brother.
Who's good here, Mike? 201-332-3484. Best Show, hi.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Tommy in Brooklyn.
Tommy, good name. Good name. How's it working for you, buddy?
Doing well. I just got caught in the rain a little bit, but having a good night otherwise.
Not nuts about... Wait, is it raining in Brooklyn?
Yeah, it just started.
What's that?
Yeah, it just started raining a little bit.
It's stormy here?
Well, yeah, it just started raining.
I missed that. I'm in here doing the show. I don't know what the weather is. I'm here doing the show. I guess I'm not nuts about Tommy. What, Tom's not good? What are you?
You know, I've never felt grown up enough to use it.
To use Tom?
Yeah.
You are.
What's up?
You are. You're grown. I'm giving you permission. You're grown up enough.
All right, I'll start switching. I'll switch today.
All right, Tommy. Have you always been Tommy?
Yeah, since I was a kid.
Yeah. You carried that forward, huh?
Tommy Wonderful.
That's me.
I know.
You're the other Tommy.
Yeah.
So go ahead. What's going on tonight, Tom? I say Tommy. It's just like... See, didn't it bother you, Tommy, can't you hear me? That didn't bother you?
I guess my dad's a big Who fan. It was part of the reason he named me.
Yeah, but you on the playground, it wasn't your father wasn't out there playing the Who with some kid. Yeah, Tommy, can't you hear me?
The kids in my school weren't too into the Who.
Uh-huh. What were they into?
The guest. So it was more of a, I grew up in more of the Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC era.
Okay.
And I guess a little bit of the Ludacris, Ja Rule, that kind of thing more.
Sure.
Ja Rule's doing great these days, right?
He's that a good
concert.
Man.
Yeah, that concert he organized. That way.
I heard it went well, yeah.
Yeah. Do you think Ja Rule was like, looks at like Jay-Z was like one of his peers at a point? He's just like, if I do this concert, maybe I take a huge step forward in terms of being like a mogul also. And then just like, next, when that thing rolls.
By Barclays next, yeah.
Yeah. Then that thing rolls down the hill backwards, suddenly just like, people abandoned on that island screaming for their lives. Just like, well, guess that dream of the mogul, might not happen.
No Beyonce.
So what's up, Tommy? What do I owe the pleasure of this call?
So I was watching the eclipse yesterday by the Hudson River on Pier 45.
Mm-hmm.
And, this big group comes up next to us and they bring this giant speaker. And they play, so first they play Total Eclipse of the Heart, you know, very on the nose.
Yeah.
And then they start playing, they play Free Falling, they play New York State of Mind, and they play We Will Rock You.
What?
Just blasting these songs, and it had nothing to do with the eclipse, it was just brutal.
Look, Free Falling, that Tom Petty song?
Yeah, with the condescending lyrics.
Well, let me just say this about that song. Look, Tom Petty is a great guy. Look, is he great? I guess he's great. He's always been very good to great for a long time. For a long time, he kept it going.
For sure.
Would I put any of his albums above, like, are any of the masterpieces? Yeah, probably not. They're great albums. But that song Free Fallin' is one of the dumbest songs. It's like a nursery rhyme.
I honestly think it's condescending to the American people that he put those lyrics up.
What, Free Falling?
She's a good girl, loves her mama. It's too much.
Well, it just sucks.
It's so bad, yeah.
It's like a nursery rhyme. Like singing a nursery rhyme.
She loves horses? Get out of here.
Think about the money this guy made off this dumb nursery rhyme that he turned into a fake rock song. That's what I need.
Insane.
Where's my version of that? Brink,
I think that's the ventriloquism.
Brink. She's a good girl. Laziest song in the guy's career. He's made a mountain of money from it.
It's crazy.
Well, look, Tommy. That's a bad choice. That's a bad choice of fireworks music. Not fireworks, eclipse music. It's fireworks music. That's why it came to mind. That's music you play at the fireworks. We Will Rock You.
You're right.
Free Falling. Yeah. Shameful.
It was weird hearing We Will Rock You in a non-sports context.
Yeah. For something that you know what I heard when I had the eclipse going? Quiet. It was quiet and I could hear crickets. In the middle of the day, crickets started chirping like crazy. Because they thought it was night. And it wasn't.
That's what you want.
Yeah, I heard that. I hear some dude blasting We Will Rock You in my face. Well, Tommy, look. Or Tom.
Tom, I'm a huge fan. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Your name is Tom now.
I'm Tom now. You're right.
But we've got to differentiate you from me. So you're Little Tom, okay?
That sounds
you're
good.
You're no longer
yeah.
Tommy. Now you're little boy Tom.
Little Boy Tom is an upgrade.
There you go. All right, Little Boy Tom, I'll talk to you later.
Have a good night.
Bye. Do you want to come in here for this, Mike?
Yeah.
Mike has a guest. Mike got someone to call from... Okay, let's put the phone on now. Hi, Besho, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi there. This is Jay Austin calling. How you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm actually sober for a change. I'm like how I think a lot of people have been seeing me lately.
Jay, you are the star of Twin Peaks.
that's a hell of a way to put it, yeah.
In my eyes, I think he is.
Yeah. You're too kind. You're too kind.
Now, who do you play on Twin Peaks now?
I play a character who is really only known as drunk. So that's my current claim to fame. Yeah.
Okay. It's an accurate description.
I'm drying out in a jail cell in Twin Peaks right now.
All right. So you were on Twin Peaks. You're in a jail cell. And you, like, mimic. Because, look, I'm behind. I have not seen the Twin. I'm behind on it. I got to pay my cable bill so I can get reinstated.
Yeah. Understandable.
So, but Mike, who's associate producer on this show.
Yeah.
He, I'm going to tell you this, Jay. Mike has been raving about the Twin Peaks, the Twin Peaks revival, and he's raving about you on it. He said to me, "Tom, you got to see this guy. This guy is my favorite character on this thing. He has stuff coming out of his mouth."
Can you say what is drooling from your mouth?
No, I wish I could. I have, you know, the information I was given, honestly, you know, the secrecy surrounding this whole thing, I'm not really at liberty to say much, but honestly, if I wanted to, I couldn't because, you know, I was told so little going into this, you know. I mean, every actor that came on the show was only given, you know, basically the part of the script that they were in it. But I wasn't even given that. They just, you know, just told me, "Well, here's what you're going to do." And and obviously, you know, it's just me basically repeating and screwing with people. You know, I felt like such an asshole on the day of the shoot because I'm just, you know, I'm just messing with everybody that's in that jail.
For people who are not familiar with the show, Jay has been in, you've been in two episodes so far, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Will you be in more episodes?
I don't think I'm at liberty to say.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right, okay.
But, you know, it's...
it sounds like a yes
like
to me.
Probably not
that's a yes.
That jail cell on the show.
I'm going to say that's a yes. There's no way that a character... And I'm saying this, Jay. Mike, seriously, was raving about... He's like, this guy... he said, the Twin Peaks is great. And this guy is the greatest thing about the return of Twin Peaks.
To me, you know, it's a show full of strange characters, right?
And
to me,
sure.
So far, Jay's character is right at the top. I think Jay's created a character who's so disturbing to me, anyway. Maybe this is a personal thing. I'm a bartender, Jay, in my personal life.
Some things. Yeah.
So maybe this is just a personal thing that I'm having a connection with your character.
Yeah.
It should also be noted that Jay is heavily made up in the scene. I mean, how much time does it take to get into that makeup?
It took a fair amount of time. I don't remember exactly how many hours, but they did amazing things. You know, not only Debbie Zoller and her makeup team, Jamie Kelman, who was working with me specifically, but David himself even did some of that stuff as well.
Really?
So,
okay.
It was something else. I mean, it was hard for me to look at myself in the mirror.
Oh, it's scary. It's truly
it's
scary.
Really hard.
Yeah.
Now with David Lynch, when you got this part, Jay. This was you went out for this as an actor, like a pretty conventional way of getting.
No, it is pretty unconventional, as most things with David Lynch are. I know him previously, from having, worked for him. And, so he, you know, I was his assistant actually for a while, for many years. And, towards the end of my time, he kind of, you know, he started using me in a couple things he was doing acting wise, and he kind of started getting, you know, he started liking what I was doing, and I guess when he started, you know, I don't know what point, but I guess for a while he'd had me in mind for this part. He never told me this, you know, he'd been in the shoot for a while before I learned anything about how he was thinking about me for this part, and then, you know, I got a call from Sabrina Sutherland, his producer, saying, "Hey, David would like you to play this role," and that's kind of how I heard about it. And you know, then the more I learned about it, I was like trying to figure out why David considered me to play a character like that.
I would ask the same question. I was
racking my brains, like, did he ever like see me drunk at one point and just think like and file it away somewhere? I'd like to think that David or anybody for that matter has never seen me that drunk. but yeah, I don't know. But for some reason, it kind of, I don't know. I enjoyed doing it. I don't know why, but mm-hmm. playing drunk was just, in that kind of character, in that kind of way, I don't know. It just kind of, it seemed like something that I was able to get into for some reason. And I don't know if I should be scared by that or what, but it was, you know, he's a mysterious guy. He just kind of often seems to know when somebody, you know, can do a certain thing. And so he threw me in there.
And what's like a note or some guidance he would give you in terms of playing the part, like in terms of how he's seeing it and what he would want you to bring to life?
You know, that's a really kind of hard thing to describe. I mean, he told me, just as far as the words go, it's mostly, he was just, you know, trying to describe, you know, kind of, the mood and kind of how this character is and how he kind of repeats what he says. But, you know, the thing that's kind of, and I know this is like, probably interesting to hear, but he kind of just talks to you in a certain way, you know, and it's kind of just, he kind of gets in there, you know, and says, all right, now it's going to be, you're going to do this thing, you know, and that's kind of, he's got this almost like kind of telepathic way of kind of communicating, where he kind of starts to talk to you in this way, and you kind of get on his wavelength, and you kind of hopefully feel what he's feeling, uh-huh. and you just kind of go with it. But as far as the actual words he's saying, I don't know if that's really, it's not really about the words, I guess, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody could have said, you know, go in there and you know, you're very drunk and you're kind of half out of it and you're repeating things. But it was some kind of tone that he was setting that I was trying to lock onto there.
So there's a real connection there between when he can express things to you that go beyond just simple direction.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, I've seen him do this countless actors. I mean, it's, you know, it's just sort of, it's what's kind of part of why he is who he is. You know, he just kind of, he talks to somebody until, you know, he just kind of feels like they're kind of, you know, vibing with what he's saying. And then he just kind of roll cameras and, you know, hope for magic to happen. And that's kind of the way he works.
Now, you were in a movie called The Big Sleaze, and what was your character's name in that?
You know, I don't remember, honestly. That was... Was it?
Oh, that was my God, Mike.
It's Mike, okay.
Yeah. Which, I was wondering if there was a lawsuit.
Yeah, that was... did you see that movie?
No, I just... I was looking... Mike, because Mike, again, Mike is a pretty sizable fan and has been pursuing a lot of these things and really tracking it, and he was excited about trying to get you on the show tonight, and... I'm glad you called in.
I don't know whether to be scared or honored, Mike. Thank you.
So what's coming up on the for you, Jay?
Well, for me, I do more voice acting. I've done, you know, some stage stuff and a few on screen things, as my IMDb page will attest, I guess. But I do voiceover commercials and audiobooks. I just finished recording an audiobook, part of an anthology series. Best of Science Fiction and Fantasy, Volume 11, I think it was. So that's probably the next thing coming up that you could hear me in, at least.
Because you've got the pipes. You definitely have the pipes for that.
Oh, thank you.
And it should be noted that in his scenes in Twin Peaks, he's in the same cell block as a naked woman with no eyes who makes sort of monkey sounds. And then... Jay's character has to sort of do this. He just mimics what other people say in the cell block. Would it be possible for you to do a little bit of the monkey sounds? Because to tell me, like I said, you were the scariest character on the show, and then, you know, the sounds that you emit during these scenes are truly disturbing to the point where it does get sort of irritating when you're watching it. You know, like a real drunk you would encounter, you know, their behavior just becomes annoying. And you really...
Yeah, no, you think it's irritating. You should try watching it with my wife.
Well, what has ever her reaction been?
She,
is she telling her friends you're on the show?
Yeah, oh yeah, no, she's gotten, text some stuff from people that have been watching. It's been like, oh my God, is that Jay on TV right now? It's,
yeah, you're barely recognizable.
Well, I gave her a fair warning that was going to be, yeah, but there are people that like kind of don't realize it at first and then kind of realize later. It's like, I think that was you.
Well, maybe Jay, instead, to go one further, why don't you teach Mike how to do the monkey sounds? Maybe you, not only you, if you can do it and tell, then Mike can see if Mike can tap into what you've got.
I mean, it's a pretty hard thing. So I don't know if I could do it now because I was listening to the unworldly noise that Nye was making in that part and just trying to do. But I'll tell you one thing: you really can't do it unless you have like a mouthful of blood or some kind of horribleness,
He's got that, Mike.
In your mouth.
Mike's actually currently bleeding from his mouth.
A horrible kind of mouth wound, I think.
Yeah.
In order to be able to kind of do that sort of, that kind of thing. So, it's really nothing that you want to listen to really at all once you hear.
Yeah. No, and it goes on. He's not afraid of letting it just go on beyond what you're really thinking it's going to go.
Yeah. No, it's true. It was definitely a question I had in my mind in shooting. Was like how far is he going to take this? He's not afraid to go there.
Any final question? You have any questions for Jay? Anything else, Mike?
No, I just want to say thanks for calling. I hope you're in the remaining episodes of the show because I'm really enjoying it in a weird way.
I'm really, really glad that you are. I'm scared that you're enjoying that character that much, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
I hope you enjoy the rest of what you see.
Yeah, thanks for calling. It's very exciting. Thank you, Jay.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
You have a great night.
Take care.
All right, you too. Bye.
Mike? I got to tell you. How many points did you have tonight? Two, I think.
Well, you said I was on thin ice.
Mike?
Yeah.
You're not on thin ice
anymore. Oh, thanks, man.
You're on solid ground.
There you go.
These other two are on thin ice now. That's a book. Now, that's a booking. The other two, you get that. You see what Mike just did? You take a page from Mike's book. Mike goes, he gets a guy from Twin Peaks on, it calls in. I tell you, that's how you do it. 101, guys. Pat Dudio. I want to hear you guys say thank you for that booking, Mike. Thank you for booking Jay from Twin Peaks, Mike. You got it? You feel good, Mike? Best show. Okay. Best show.
Tom?
Yes, hi.
Hi, this is Mike from Minneapolis.
Mike from Minneapolis. What's up, Mike?
I just got done seeing Andy Kindler.
I'm sorry. No, where did you see Andy Kindler?
At the Acme Comedy Club here in Minneapolis.
And how was the show?
Oh, it was fantastic. He did his Hitler chunk. It was amazing.
Scale of 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm. The performance?
What do you give it?
I would give it a... Well, I know that Andy would probably score it lower. I would give the performance a 9.
Oh, 9. Okay. Still give him something to strive for.
That's right. Yeah. And Erica Rhodes was the feature act, and she was very funny as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I was just appreciating the... Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead. You were appreciating the...
The interview with the drunk from Twin Peaks.
Yeah, that was AP Mike. That was all AP Mike.
I put a link up on the Twin Peaks Reddit page about the best show.
That's awesome. So. See? I say, this Mike. Mike? Is the pizza there? Take a corner slice. You get this corner slice. Any corner you want. What's that? It's a round pie. Mike, you get two slices tonight.
Two.
He's working his way back into the good graces.
Oh, he's not working. He's all the way back in. He goes in and makes it happen.
It's the night of AP Mike's redemption.
It's his night. It's Mike's night. All right, Chief. I'm glad Andy Kindler was funny. You have a great night.
Yeah. Thanks.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Hi. You are speaking to Sarah from Chicago.
Oh, from the tough streets of Chicago. Which is actually
How are you tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm actually exhausted. I just got back from the Pass of Totality down in southern Illinois.
So you went down and you saw, were you at that football field where it was all cloudy? And then
oh, no.
It poked through for 1 minute?
Oh, no. I was at a campsite would be a generous term. I was at a space by someone's garage where there was a porta potty. And we camped there, but we got to sit on a dock and watch it in its glory. It was quite a thing to see.
How dark did it get where you were?
It got dark. I think it goes down to like almost 10% of light, so okay. It got dark.
Okay.
And people were in a lake, so everyone started screaming. You could hear people screaming, you know, and kids like just like howling with glee. But it was pretty incredible, and it the way the light changed everything, it was nuts, and you could actually take your glasses off at a point and look up. So yeah,
awesome.
I actually was floating in a lake for a good portion of it.
You got the full experience floating in a lake the totality going down.
Look, I'm going to be turning 40 next year. I'm trying to take 39. You know,
happy.
not for a bit,
okay.
But before we start talking, can I say one thing real quick, like a little public service announcement for anyone in the Chicago area?
I wish I could say yes, but unfortunately,
well,
of course you can. Go ahead.
Okay. So there is going to be an eclipse in 2019. It's going to go through like South America and stuff. So people are collecting. Don't throw away those glasses. If you Google it, you can find it. I can, you know, tweet the link. I know you're not looking at Twitter, but people are collecting glasses to send to kids down South America, and Reckless Records in Chicago is collecting them. So if anyone wants to drop off old glasses, they're going to send them off. So
bring your eclipse glasses to Reckless Records.
Mm-hmm.
And
any location.
And they will repurpose them for kids who will get to see an eclipse in a couple of years.
Yep. They're going to send them all down. So
mm-hmm.
I'd appreciate it if people would do that in the Chicago area. If they're,
and
if they're
anyone
the...
who brings in glasses gets what? A free tortoise album? What do you get?
That does seem appropriate. That I can't promise, but you get to come say hi to some cool folks.
This is what
so
you
I appreciate
do.
That they're doing it.
You bring in your eclipse glasses and to Reckless Records, and you just go, come on, give me a free tortoise record. And then they'll
yeah.
go, no. And they'll go, come on. And they'll go, no, I'm not giving you a free record. And that's how the exchange will end.
And then, yeah. They'll just give you a dirty look and they'll be done.
Oh, man. But. And they'll go, yeah, that's right. Then you'll go, fine. And then you go, you bring a Gastro del Sol album to the counter. Right?
I gotta tell you though, so I took my dog, right?
Yes.
My mom was all concerned that the dog was gonna look at it, which I was like, he doesn't look at the sun normally as far as I know. I don't know why he would do it now.
Yeah,
you know?
Be good for any dog to look at the sun at any point.
Right, but they did, people told me this, and it's true. I mean, my dog lays down a lot, that's kind of one of his signature moves, just kind of laying down.
Oh, wait
but
a minute.
Animal-
Hold on a second. Your dog lays down a lot?
Yeah, but like in a very particular stubborn way where he just like goes flat. And he's a big dog.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like stubborn. He just goes flat. And you can't do anything about it. You know, we have like a trick now that my dad figured out because like he'll do this on a walk because he doesn't want to go home. He's like, I'm not done walking yet, right? So he'll just go flat. And he's like 75 pounds. He's just like a pile of, he's just a blob. He can't do anything. So
you know what I say? My dog, Good and Poochie, when she does that, she's like a bag of cement. Like a wet bag of cement. Like if somebody ever gets like a bag of cement wet and it's just like, you just have this giant rock. That's what she's like when she lays down. It's like, come on, move.
Well, and I can, like, I mean, I can pick him up. I mean, it's an effort, but I can. Like, I have, you know, sometimes he won't get in the car and I have to do it. But, like, you know those toys they give kids that are, like, I don't know what they're called, but they're sort of like a, they're like a balloon, but it's like an infinity balloon, and they just kind of flop out of your hands. He's like a giant version of that. Okay. Like, you can't even, like, scoop him up. You know,
he's rolling
out of your hands.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to pick up, a giant bag of garbage bag filled with molasses.
Yellow.
Well, this dog seems great. I'm training my dog to chew up eclipse glasses, actually. So I've been training her to chew up used eclipse glasses. She's running around everyone's neighborhood chewing them. So,
well, where you were, I don't know what it was like.
It was like dusk. It was in New Jersey where I was. It was kind of like dusk had rolled through.
Were you with your dog? Did your dog do anything weird?
No, she just sat there. She just laid there chewing on a stick.
I'll say Bruno did act a little weird. Like, it got weird. It, you know, all the outdoor lights. I mean, it got dark enough that, like, everyone's outdoor lights came on and all the bugs got loud. Yeah. You know the way they do. When it gets dark.
Well, I had that. The crickets definitely got loud.
Mm-hmm. That's weird. That's weird. So I'm glad I went. I'm glad I just went for it and did it.
Well, you did it. You went for it. Yeah. You're a little tired now. But you're...
Well, it was so hot. And, you know, my dog does not do well in the heat. He's, like, made for the marshes and the moors. He's not
second.
Made for...
Wait, hold on. Your dog... Let me get this straight. Your dog, A... lays down, and two, does not handle heat particularly
no,
well.
He like...
Are you sure this
no,
is a dog?
He's like a, you know, the short-nosed dogs, they can't, like, cool themselves down. So he's like, we were in a tent together, and it was just, at some point, I was, like, fishing. I just had him out of the tent on his little mat, and, like, I just had the leash on, you know, and I was, like, falling asleep and waking up again and just... You know, waiting. You know, because he would, like, shift and it would, like, drag the line.
Yeah,
and I would be like, oh, and wake up, like, every 15 minutes. So I'm a little not in my normal state. So I don't know if I will make what is about to come out of my face the best argument that I can. But I do feel compelled to call and argue with you about Tom Petty. Because I obviously have very different feelings about Tom Petty. He's one of the only things that gives me... you know, unwavering pride in the United States right now. So I feel very protective of Tom Petty.
He's a constant B+. He's a B to a B+ for 40 years.
The thing is with
and
Tom
that's
Petty,
not anything
I mean,
wrong.
I,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I get that. I actually do agree with what you're saying. I don't know that I would say that there's any album.
Why are you going to argue then?
But because I don't think I think he's more important. He's more important to me than, you know, I think, like, if you watch that Running Down a Dream, I think it's so great. I think that Petty book that came out is so excellent. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't know this stuff about him. Like, one of my favorite stories in it was about, you know, Mike Campbell wrote the music for what ended up becoming Boys of Summer, which I've always just loved that song, too. And I didn't know any of this, you know, before I read the book. But, you know, I also didn't know that Tom Petty had, like, a later in life, like, heroin problem and went through this, like, really dark time in his life. And, like, I don't know, wasn't really, like, getting with the Heartbreakers and doing what he should have been doing. And, like, I guess Mike brought that song around and, like, I don't know what exactly went down, but he ended up, you know, taking it to someone else, obviously. And there's, you know, kind of references in it that, like, he regrets to this day that wasn't a Heartbreaker song. But it was just stuff like that. The thing with Tom Petty and me is this, like, and I don't want to wreck The Handmaid's Tale for anyone, but I, like, screamed out loud at the last episode of The Handmaid's Tale, because I was just like, oh, like, American Girl, like, it's just, it is. It's like a pride song for me, you know, of like,
when did I say,
I don't know,
he
what's
sucked?
Good about America?
When did I
know,
say
I
he
know.
Sucked around? I just said, he's not the, he's, the, look, have I done anything perfect? No. But I'm here plugging away every week. I get it.
I know. I think the hard thing for me is that there's these songs people overhear, and then there's this massive catalog that's just so excellent.
Yes.
And you hear the same five songs over and over again. So I get it. They're annoying
but Free Fallin' is, that song is exhausting to me personally. It's got that bad Jeff Lynne production that's so super dated. The voice way up. Sounds like it recorded on a laptop.
But how many
voice.
People are familiar with songs like, you know, The Insider, like off Hard Promises? I think Hard Promises is an excellent record. I think Wildflowers is an excellent record.
Yes!
You know, these songs don't get, I wish they were played more on the radio, because I actually think his catalog is impressive. It's just, you know, they play the same five songs, and I get it.
I don't listen to the radio. You listen to the radio. I know you listen to the radio. I actually don't listen to
the radio.
I don't.
I know.
I hear the things
I love it.
But look, he's got these songs with Zombie Zoo. That's a good song.
Actually, I think Night Watchman is the worst. That's the one that always
gets
me.
He's got these things. It shows he's human.
Right.
I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying he's done the work, and he's consistently done the work. And it's like, look, maybe he never gets hit by the lightning bolt of perfection with that, things, but he forever did the work.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue that American Girl is pretty much one of the greatest rock songs that's ever going to go down in our.
And is that a perfect
collective.
Album?
No.
No, that's what I'm saying.
But can't you be a perfect song person and not a perfect album person? Isn't that just as important? You know, like, maybe that's, it's never going to, he's
you
just not
what?
A perfect album person.
It's not
he's a
race.
Perfect song person.
It's not a race. If it works, I want everyone should be happy and like what they like. And if he is your number one favorite person, then I'm glad you identified your number one favorite person.
You know what I did? Do you know what I did this year? Because it's the Heartbreakers. Me and the Heartbreakers are turning 40 or whatever. So they announced a tour when they started announcing dates, and they announced one show only with Stevie Nicks. And I was like, it was really late, and I had just come home from a show, and I was like, who's buying a ticket? And it was like months ago. It was like 6 months ago. It was in England. It was in London, England. And I was like, whatever, I'm just buying a ticket. Kept thinking I would talk myself out of it or just resell the ticket or whatever, and I ended up going and seeing him and Stevie Nicks sing Stop Dragging My Heart Around together with a bunch of English people.
That's awesome.
I was like having the most American moment ever, you know, with a bunch
that
of
is,
English people.
That's fantastic. Why would you think, why? I'm not arguing. I'm not taking something away from you. I'm on your side, Sarah from Chicago.
I know.
It's my
natural
raised.
Way.
You know what you came in? Like you were born a rebel down in Dixie,
like
right? You're just like your hero, Tom Petty.
You've
got a Southern accent.
Oh, my God. Hero. Okay, well, we know that he's also apologized for that because,
look,
as
you know,
on that current
tour.
Times go.
I saw him on that tour. I saw
Confederate
that.
Confederate flag and all, yeah.
And a huge Confederate flag fell down behind him. That may be his greatest moment.
No.
He's walked that one back.
Yeah,
it was a great,
that one
I liked
back.
That album a lot. I thought that was a great album. Did I like the? But it has that song Spike on it. Not a great song. Keeping my thing alive here. That he's never been perfect, but he's been really good to great the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I was just calling in to, because I feel like last time we talked about Tom Petty, I didn't put into words exactly what it is, but I think to me it's,
I'm cutting this guy's
slack. I mean, he's like
his
a Bruce
name is Tom, first
to
of
me.
His name's Tom. He already gets a pass, part of half past. He's like Bruce Springsteen to you. There you go.
He's my Bruce Springsteen.
That's
he's
good.
Like my what I love about America.
Great.
You know, what makes me nostalgic and feel like, like, sensitive about America, where I'm like, this place is great. I know it's such a garbage dump sometimes, but, you know, it's still, there's still some, like, shining thing that is, whatever the original idea is of America, it's still, that's never going to go away, and there's still great people here who are always going to make that rise to the top, even if we have to wade through it here and there.
We always have to wade through it.
Yeah.
America always is great and always sucks.
But it's always a it's always a promise, right? Look, it's always like one little promise, right?
It's just like you're a person and you're here and you happen to be lucky to be in the country where you don't have robots flying over your head dropping bombs on your house.
Yeah. Yep.
No matter who the president is.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I have astrological feelings about it, but I feel like this eclipse is going to start. I feel like there's a shift happening, and I think the news is coming hot and fast, but I'll tell you, something to break.
The first shift I saw is Mike shifted himself out of that chair and booked a guest on the show. You don't think I'm seeing changes here? One day after the eclipse, Mike's like, yeah, I got the guy from Twin Peaks on. Look, I'm seeing major
shifts.
Things
are different now.
I'm seeing major shifts going on here. Mike's got Freddie DeCordova out there now all of a sudden. We're bringing in the big guests.
Anything could happen. Yeah. Anything could happen.
Yeah. The last guy, Mike brought some guy in here. My watch was missing. The last guy, last guest Mike brought in. I'm not going to say who. My watch grew feet and walked out, apparently. All right, Sarah.
Well, it's always a pleasure, Tom.
Of course. I'll talk to you very soon. Thank you for everything.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Mike, I don't even wear a watch. Best Shell, hi.
Hi. Is this Sam?
This is.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. Hi, I'm Rebecca from Scranton.
Rebecca from Scranton.
Yes.
How are you tonight, Rebecca?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, so I wanted to call and defend free falling a little bit.
All right.
Not in the way that it's a good song, because it's not a good song. But remember, like, last year or the year before, Tom Petty came out and, like, told this story, because clearly he's embarrassed of the song, told this story about how he wrote it solely to make Jeff Lynne laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he 100% succeeded in that.
Oh, no. Look.
Like, the lyrics are funny.
This is what I'll say. Do I like the song Free Fall? No, I think it sucks. Do I wish I wrote the song Free Falling? Yes! Do I wish that the things I did to make other people laugh could make me a garbage truck full of money? Yes!
Yes.
I would love to just be like, oh, I just did that thing to make my friend laugh. And then, here, let me start shoveling money.
Like
literally.
$1 billion.
Yeah, literally, he could take the piles of money that song has made and start shoveling it like snow.
Right. Yeah, so I just wanted to point out, like, yeah, it's a terrible song.
Oh, no.
But he clearly told that story because he knows it's a terrible song. And I love Tom Petty. But it succeeded in, like, its purpose. It served its purpose.
Look, you are not going to get an argument from me. I wish I had a free falling look. Maybe my vapetriloquism will be that when I start doing a ventriloquist vape act, which I'm going to start next week on the show.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Maybe that's my free falling.
I mean, I hope so. I'll pray for you.
Now, dude, I need you to find out if the smoke alarms are going to go off if I start vaping in here. I'm good?
Oh, no, don't do that.
Tell you this, if these smoke alarms go off and they start getting minus four. All right.
Okay, well, thanks for letting me call.
Rebecca? Was it Rebecca?
It's Rebecca from Scranton.
Rebecca, you call anytime you want. Thank you for the call.
Thank you. Thank you for the show.
Of course. I will talk to you soon. You take care.
Bye.
Bye. My friends, I'm going to end the show tonight. Oh, why? Why are you ending early? Well, I'm not ending early. It's midnight. Want to thank Jay Assing for calling in from Twin Peaks. Want to thank AP Mike for his booking job on that. Great job, Mike. And I'm interested to see what Pat and Dudio come up with to show that they can bring the goods. I tell you, better not get Adam Conover calling either. And Dudio claims he knows the guy from Adam Ruins Everything. He likes whatever he was in with him. He was in like a club or something. I don't even know why. Look, I barely... But I could get Adam Conover to call in. And Sharpling and Worcester live, New York City. Early show sold out super fast. Late show, still some tickets available. It is selling. It is going to sell out very quickly. And when it's done, it's done. And we are not touring. This is the 20th anniversary Rock Rotten Rule extravaganza at Murmur. You can check the Twitter account to get a link for the tickets. And Friends of Tom card, you go to patreon.com/thebestshow. The only way to get the new Friends of Tom card is to give $10 or more a month and have that be the case by October 1st. And then you will get a card. And... yeah. Thanks for listening this week. I was sick, and I appreciate everybody being a part of the show. Thank you so much. And one more Monster Magnet song we'll play. This is from Last Patrol. Song Stay Tuned. Once again for Jeff Pettit. Back next week. Bye.
There's a crazy